have a good sending away Gemara for Zach. He's leaving today, right? Okay, so come on, everyone, and wish Zach that. Possible temporary, possible a little more than temporary. We'll see. So we've talked about all the Tamina of Yochanan and Zakkai, and their various nicknames and traits. And the two prominent ones would be Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in holiness. And the Mida Olympics that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai conducted. What's the most important Mida? And interestingly enough, Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach was successful in identifying Leif Tov. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lost a child. And two of his prominent Talmidim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, tried to console him by contextualizing and generalizing the tragedy, reminding him that Adam lost a child, and Aaron lost a child, and Neil lost a child. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had such historical sensitivity and personal, emotional sensitivity, it made him feel more anguish. So in comes Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach, and he succeeds. So this is his second success. Eliezer ben Arach says to his Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he basically says that... Let me read it. He says, I'll just read the mashal. If someone gives you a pikadon, safeguard, someone gives you a watch or money or something really delicate, you're always worried. Will it get ruined? Will it get lost? Will it get damaged? When you finally return that pikadon, you feel gratification, you feel vindication, because you fulfilled your task. So every person who's given children in this world is given a pikadon. Hashem gives you a child and expects you to return that pikadon, nourish and nurture that pikadon, and develop that pikadon into an Oved Hashem. And a parent lives with a lot of fear and a lot of angst. Will he or she succeed in nurturing the pikadon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the neshama? And here, your pikadon, your child, was returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a very young age, without sin, without the hardships of this world, without having lost some of its original Tzelem Elokim that every human being is endowed with. So you should feel that you return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm paraphrasing, a perfect pikadon. That's the way you should see it. Now, it's very interesting because, first of all, it's very empowering because one of the biggest frustrations when someone loses a child at a very young age is you feel futility. You raise the child with all those dreams and wishes, and someone dies at an advanced age, so it's an entire life that that person lived, their dreams, their accomplishments, their achievements. A little baby or a little child passes away, it's very frustrating. So it can be very fatalistic, and this is empowering. You know, you did something incredible. You did something really unique. It's your return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a baby in its pristine, pure form. And in fact, I remember hearing Rav Lichtenstein once deliver a eulogy when I was your age at a funeral for a baby Rahman al-Muslim who died. And he basically said this idea to the parents. And I didn't know it at the time. And I'm not sure if he was even aware that he was quoting. I didn't ask him. It's literally taken from this Mishnah. And he said that you should feel as if you have returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a baby that has been unadulterated or uncharred, or unscarred by all the ravages of this world. The second thing, obviously, is that it reminds him that as frustrating as a short life in this world may be, reminding someone this is just a transient world and there's a world of eternity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees life in this world as a pikadon, and so it was a double statement, a double effect. It empowered Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to feel as if he had performed an accomplishment as a father. And second of all, it restated the hierarchy between the two worlds, so it tried to lessen some of the frustration and the tragedy. Keep in mind that the concept that your life isn't yours, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, and it's Bikadon, and Hashem gives a father or gives you. We say this every day. You don't mention the word Bikadon. It reminds us of the Jewish evaluation of life. It's not our world. It's not our body. It's not our life. It's a Kurdish Baruch, and we're caretakers. I heard someone was talking over Shabbos, reporting about someone that was no longer so religious, or at least wasn't so makbid on laws of kashrus, and that person was saying, it's my body, and I could use what the print of my body. So obviously, that's a position that we don't agree with and we don't adopt. It's not my body, it's not my life. We don't truncate life prematurely. Obviously, at certain points when life becomes so intolerable that the quality of life is really suffering, so you can withhold treatments and refuse treatments, but certainly euthanasia and suicide is a heroic escape, and all these ideas that are pivoted on the notion that it's our body and it's our neshama are completely anathema to Judaism. Now, so here's the setup. There's a good story for Zach who's leaving tomorrow, right? Okay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai dies. This is a combination of the report and others of Nasan and the report in the Medrash. It's a parallel Medrash. It's a little different, but more or less it's the same story. Yochanan ben Zakkai dies, so the base Medrash disbands. So most of his Talmidim, most of the four, go to Yavne. That's where the Sanhedrin and the base Medrash have relocated. In fact, Yochanan ben Zakkai was responsible for reestablishing the base Medrash in Yavne by bartering Yerushalayim to Vespasian in a very famous scene where he's smuggled out as presumably a dead body in a coffin. So all the Talmidim go to Yavne. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, he's the champion Talmud. He's the one who suggested Leiv Tov. He's the one who consoled his Rebbe. His wife convinces him to go to a place called Chamyas or Bamyas or something, probably somewhere up north, maybe Chamei Tiberia, maybe Bamyas. It's hard to know. It says Damsis here, and the other Medrash is Bamyas. It's probably a place that had, as the Medrash says, Makom Yafe Umayim Nafim Yafim Vinayim. It was a pretty scene. It was a pretty resort. And there were some very, very healthy spring waters there that they could luxuriate in. And he told his wife, maybe I should go to Yavne to find the Talmidei Chachamim and learn with them. She says, no, you're Elazar ben Arach. Let them come to you. Basically, they'll come to you. And of course, that never happens. And Nismayit Sham Torah, either his reputation in Torah diminishes or his actual Torah. And Heim Shalchu Liyavne, Lamakam Talmidei Chachamim Nurbim, Nisgad Al Shemam Batara. Again, slightly different versions in the Medrash and Kohelis Rabbah and in the Mishnah Avos Rav Nasan. So it reminds us of two things. First and foremost, primarily, when you make decisions about where to live in life, very, very, very often you may have those decisions about places that are more convenient financially, ecologically, professionally, raising your family. Jews tend to live in clusters. Sometimes that clustering creates population saturations, right? All the Jews live in Glen Hazel and all the Jews live in the New York tri-state area. And you want to live somewhere it's a little bit more, you can fill in the blanks. And just remember that at the high list of your priorities should be places of their Talmidei Chachamim and places when there are role models and righteous people, men, women, that can role model. Raising a child in today's world in particular, as you know, is no easy feat. And you don't do it alone. The more role models you provide for your children within your family, within your community of Torah true Yiddishkeit, the more successful you'll be in raising your children. So think about that decision carefully. And of course, over the next couple of years, think about this decision in terms of you're all going to be at some point in college, most of you, and there's intercession, there's summer session, there's spring break, there's all sorts of breaks. I'm sure you'll have great opportunities to travel many exotic locations and take interesting vacations and internships. But just be careful that you sprinkle your next couple of years with heavy, heavy doses of affiliating with Talmidei Chachamim. And hopefully also when you're in college proper, not just during vacation, but certainly during vacations. And don't make the mistake that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach made. This is a person who was featured. He was presumably slated to become, based on all these conversations and precedents, he should have become the top Talmud. He should have become the next great leader, and he wasn't. And it's Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, because they went to Yavne. It's a very intriguing, and to a degree, sad ending to this chapter that describes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students. It's sad because obviously Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai suffers a real, real horrible tragedy, and of course Elazar ben Arach makes a poor decision. So, a good day of good decision making. We were Talmidei Chachamim.